for us to approach God, we have to start with the light. When you are in a dark room, it's difficult to understand all the things that are around you. You can feel the objects around you and try to figure out what it is. But until you turn on the lights, there is no understanding. And so the lights must be turned on. The light must come into our life first. And when the light comes into our life, we receive this life. And when we receive this life, we become part of the living Word. And Paul, in the book of Corinthians, calls us the living epistles. We are epistles of God. We become, in a sense, maybe not as great as Jesus, but in a sense, we become the Word made flesh. So we approach to the light, the life, and the Word. And in the epistle of 1 John, we see the same flow. In chapter 1, he speaks about the light. Chapter 2, he speaks about the commandments, the truth. Chapter 3, he speaks about the life. The light, the Word, and the light, and the life. And remember Jesus in John chapter 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in the first three chapters of 1 John, you have Jesus in chapter 1, I am the way, the true and the living way. In chapter 2 of 1 John, Jesus is the truth, the only truth. And he talks about the truth against the falsehood that was there, the Antichrist spirit against the Spirit of God, spirit of truth against the spirit of Antichrist. In chapter 3, Jesus is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. First three chapters. So let's look at chapter 1 and see how we consider Jesus is the way. And the key word here in chapter 1 is the word light. Now we understand that these three words are interrelated. The word light, word, and life are interrelated together throughout this epistle. But for the purpose of studying, we have to segregate them. Although you find some reference of each one of them in various chapters, there is a focus of attention on one particular subject each chapter. 1 John chapter 1 says in verse 5, this is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That's His first declaration. God is light and in Him there is virtually no darkness at all. No darkness can exist in God's presence. Anyone who reads through this epistle generally will get struck by the next sentence in 1 John 4 that says, God is love. Those two great sentences, God is light, God is love. But notice that God is light comes first before God is love. See, when people try to talk about love without talking about holiness, they get entered into perversion. And there are cults that do that. There is a cult group called the Children of God, and they talk about love, but the love they talk about is sexual love and physical human love and human affection. It has nothing to do with holiness. There's immorality involved. There is no such thing as true love unless holiness comes first. Think about it very carefully. To really understand God's kind of love, agape, we need to first understand holiness. Without understanding holiness, the love that we have, the so-called love, is a selfish love. Only for self-gratification. Only a lust to fulfill on somebody else. But when we understand holiness, then we understand God's kind of love. And we know what we should not do with a person. We know how far we can go and where we must draw the line. Where it becomes improper and where it is proper. Without those rules, we wouldn't be loving a person. We would be taking advantage of them. So holiness always must come in first. God is light comes before God is love. And let's not reverse that order. Let's continue reading here in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now in verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light. There are different things that we do with each one of those qualities. As far as the light is concerned, we walk. Our action is we walk in the light. Walking in the light speaks about works. And that is why it's tied to Jesus saying, I am the way. I am the way in which you should walk in. In 1 John chapter 2, speaks about the word. Let's look at verse 5. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now here we have, we walk in him, we walk in his light. And then it says about His word. His life and His word are related. And of course the word also contains light. But that's our approach to it. Here's the word. And it says we keep the word. We walk in the light. We keep the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, says the psalmist in Psalms 119. So as far as the word is concerned, we keep the word. We hold fast to the word. Then in chapter 3, in chapter 2 we see Jesus as the truth, the reality. In chapter 3, 1 John, looking at the life of God that flows through. In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, so that we might lay our lives down one for another. Another good key word here is verse 9. Same chapter, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed. Now his seed, the Greek word seed is the word sperma, which means life. The seed of God's life. And the seed of God remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. That is the seed of the word in our life. Notice that in all these three relationships, the word stands clear. There is light from the word. There is life from the word, and of course the word is the source of all things. At the same time, as we look into these three areas, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And John is writing to tell us how to move deep into these three areas here. How to have the light full in our life, how to keep the word in our life and walk in truth, and how to have the life of God flowing abundantly in us. The Zoe kind of life in Him. Let's look again at 1 John chapter 1, and He tells us what to do on our part. How do we get into the light? What must we do? See, in each chapter, it tells us what we must do. It tells us what God did and tells us what we must do. And the main thrust that He has here is in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice there are two things that He mentioned. In order to walk in the light, we need, number one, fellowship with one another that is in the light, and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. We need to have all our guilt and all our sin and all our condemnation placed under the precious blood of Jesus. We need to know, to taste in our life, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. And I want to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus for a moment. The blood of Jesus relates to its cleansing ability. Its ability to free us from many things that we don't realize. The blood sets us free from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? When you have done something wrong, you have released a law of sowing and reaping in a negative sense that will hit back at you in some point of time. It's only a question of when. That's how dangerous sin is. There is a repercussion that hits back. It's a question of when. There is a penalty. There is a wage for sin. The wages of sin is death. And there is a payday that the devil brings about in destruction and death. Sin doesn't come free either. Sin doesn't come free either. It looks like it's free. But you know, the devil and God operates differently. When God gives us something free, He paid for it first. He paid for it with the blood of Jesus. He bought us. He bought salvation. He bought healing. He bought deliverance. He bought everything for us. Grace and salvation is free. But free doesn't mean it's cheap. Free means somebody paid for it. His name is Jesus. Sin is also not free. If you live in this life long enough, you realize that nothing is free. Everything that is free comes at a cost. You pay for it in some way, whether directly or indirectly. Even if you walk along the road and you thought the road is free, no, your taxes pay for the road. Somebody else paying the tax for that road. Everything costs something. And you think about the air that you breathe. Well, most of the air we breathe is aircon air. It causes something. Right? And we have to clean up the air. Sin is not free. The devil doesn't pay for it. The devil says, take it on credit. So, because it's on credit, and it's not explained to us, it was like giving an ability to spend to a little child who doesn't know that in future you got to pay for it. And so we quickly go and take it. We take whatever we want. We enter into temptation. And we fall into temptation, and we don't understand the devil works differently from God. He tried to duplicate, but in some areas he just does it differently because of his nature. He doesn't pay for it for us. We have to pay for it one day. Or down the line in our descendants, somebody will pay for the wrongs. It doesn't come free. They are wages. But He gets us to spend. He gets us to use our time to spend it on. Takes our time away.